Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hi, Mick. How are you going?
Really good. Thanks for joining us here on 2SER.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Congratulations on the album. Roses Always Die. Look, we've got to drop the quote because Henry Rollins has described your album as a beautiful and insightful collection of songs. Her work achieves a poignancy which is distinct as it is rare. Oh, what a lovely comment from Henry Rollins. What did you think of when you saw that?
It's always good to get, positive feedback. I tend to not really, I don't like to get too wrapped up in what other people say, whether it's good or bad, because I feel like that's can be a bit of a
sure.
Obstacle in terms of writing and things like that. But it's always really good to hear that anyone read it that gets anything out of it, really.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I feel like this is a really very carefully made, delicate album, as is a lot of your music, but this one feels a lot more personal than previous ones. Was it hard to make, or did it feel more personal when you were making it?
No, I think maybe I went about it in the same way kind of that I went about the first few, which is basically I just kind of write as much as I can, and then when I feel like I've got enough, so I always go for quantity, not quality.
Right.
And then if I have enough songs, then theoretically there'll be enough really good ones that I can pull out to use for an album. So generally I write about, maybe 30 or 40 over maybe a year, maybe.
Yep.
And then I always record about 20 and then pick 10 probably at the end. So yeah, it's a bit of a safeguard for myself really, in that, I end up writing heaps of shit ones, but it doesn't really matter.
Now, Jeffrey O'Connor, who helped you do your last album as well, he is, of course, a fantastic artist as well. We play here at 2SER. He featured both his last albums, and now he's helped you out with these couple of albums. What's your relationship like with him, and how did you end up working together?
Jeff's a really good friend. We met I think I met him through friends from Adelaide, actually, when we first moved back to Melbourne. Mm-hmm. I think he likes the wine, as do I. And I think just pretty much purely from that, really, we ended up hanging out heaps. And then, he's always, I think it's quite difficult to find good people to work with. And so whenever I found someone over the years that is enjoyable to work with, I always try and do as much as I can with them just because they can be kind of few and far between.
Sure.
He is one in a million, really. He's a lovely guy, but also, he doesn't, he's just the perfect amount of, he'll help you out and give input, but not too much. And he's a pleasure.
So this is a great story behind this, and it's the organ that you use in this album. It's a 70s Yamaha analog organ, which I believe you bought for $50. Is this true?
Yeah, my old housemate bought it for, I think he bought it for $15 from Gumtree or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when he moved out, he was like, oh, do you want it? Because I was the only one that ever played it. And then I was like, yeah, and he's like, that'll be $50, thank you.
Oh, so he's just tripled his earnings on the organ.
So he made a cool 35 off that. But
what a sound, hey? Like, it's really haunting, beautiful sound. And I believe it's a heavy, heavy thing, right?
Yeah, it's kind of it's one of those big old school two-tiered ones, but with all the bass pedals as well. So it's not really, I think I may have found the only kind of good sound on it. Heaps of it's pretty, kind of what people would associate with those things. Like, they're pretty definitive sounding.
Yeah.
But I think I actually wrote that 9 cassette tracks. I wrote that on it as well. Mm-hmm. But then when Jeff and I got to recording, I used his Juno to do all the synths and stuff on it.
Yep.
But then this time, I guess just as a bit of a point of difference, decided to just actually record it at our place on that big boy.
And it worked well, I think. And you convinced Jeff that it was all good to record it on your home organ.
Yeah, I think he didn't really. I think you're right in that when I first said it, he was like, oh, I think we'll use what I've got. I think it's just a little bit better. And I was like, all right, I don't really care. And because I'd never done anything that was synthy sounding before, I was quite happy to.
Yeah.
But then this one, I was like, now let's use that. And then he was legitimately shocked that it sounded really good. And I was like, I told you it would.
Now, of course, you used to be in the band Bat Rider.
Yeah.
And that is, obviously, it's a bit different being in a band as opposed to doing your solo thing. What do you prefer, and do you would you go back and do a band thing again?
Probably not at this stage, but because I did that since from probably 20 to 19 to 29, really.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I get kind of anxious now if I have to do stuff with other people in terms of music-y things.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I'm over it forever or just over it for now. But yeah, I don't know. It's not heaps my thing.
Fair enough.
But I am. Whenever I see a good band or whatever, I'm always a bit envious that, you know, like because when a band's awesome, it can be really good when people work well together.
Well, that's the challenge, isn't it? Trying to find a band where you're all on the same page, you all work well together, there's no jealousy, there's no, you know,
yeah.
It's hard.
Well, even like, that band that we played in was good because weirdly, whatever lineup we had, we were always kind of on the same page. So we did so much traveling and
that
we lived in London for a couple of years and went through Europe like 3 times for 2 months each and went through the States for a couple of months and, you know, toured Australia and New Zealand a million times.
Yeah.
You know, and we like relocated heaps of times and things like that. But yeah, so I don't think, but I think that was good for the age we were at as well, like in our mid-20s and, you know, you're a bit more up for traveling and like I kind of couldn't be bothered doing that now, maybe.
Yeah, fair enough. It sounds like you're in a nice place now outside. I can hear the birds chirping. Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I'm in the park with my friend's dog, actually.
That's fantastic.
My girlfriend's Steph's taken charge of throwing the ball.
Nice. Now, your songs emit a bit of a sense of sadness, I reckon, and reflection. I understand that you had some close people pass away over the last year as well, maybe while you were writing. Was the album a bit of a form of therapy for you?
If it is, it's not as expensive as my actual therapy that I do. I think maybe half years my dad passed away at the end of last year, and then a really close friend at the beginning of this year. I guess most of it was already written kind of by that time, but there's a few that are kind of, you know, have references to those kind of things.
Yeah.
In it. I mean, maybe like I've kind of been had a bit of bad luck over the years with kind of that kind of thing, really. So I couldn't really say that it was just that one thing in particular, but it's good. It's helpful to help process things and stuff like that.
Do you not mind that it's sort of a sad album? Like, do you like people listen to it and sort of feeling sad, or do you feel you think it's more positive than that?
For me or for other people?
For people listening.
I think it's so often I think it's more positive than what people initially can think. Like, I think often at first glance people, you know, obviously refer to it as being really depressing or, you know, just a downer really or upsetting, but I think it's actually not that dark really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's just kind of life is pain.
Life is pain. Oh,
that's all right, really.
Yeah. Well, I guess we all go through ups and downs, and that's the whole point, isn't it?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, that's only negative if you really think it is. So.
Yeah, well, it's all glass half full. That's right. We're all glass half full people.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Now, just quickly, you've got a couple of gigs coming up. Firstly, you've got your gig here on Saturday night, Newtown Social Club. Sounds fantastic. You're playing with The Garbage and The Flowers and Love Chance.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I've like been a huge fan of both of those bands for years now, so I'm a little bit blown away that I get to play with them both. So
fantastic.
It's very, very exciting for me.
Yeah, and it's a great little venue there, Newtown Social Club. Nice and cozy. Hopefully you'll get a nice crowd there to come and cheer you on.
Yeah, cool.
And you've just been named to play at GOMA, the Gallery of Modern Art in Brisbane, with Summer Flake, who is, did you used to live together?
Yeah, she's in the park with me now.
All right, so Steph Kreese is there in the park with you. Oh, that's her dog.
Yeah, our other friend's dog. He's gone overseas for a little while. So we're just giving her a walk for him.
Oh, what an all-star household. It must be a very musical place.
We live in this kind of one-room warehouse, so it's only musical when one of us is home by ourselves, unfortunately, just because otherwise it's kind of annoying to the other person.
Sure, yeah. But that's cool that you're both teaming up for this gig, which I know Kimya Dawson was supposed to be doing, and she unfortunately can't make it. So
yeah, I hope people aren't too disappointed. I hope we're not too much of a consolation prize. I know a lot of people were really keen to see her play. So
oh, what a replacement though, yourself and Summerflake. That's awesome. Oh, it sounds fantastic. Everyone can check out all your gigs, of course, up on your Facebook, your website, and all that sort of stuff. But good luck with your gig here in Sydney on Saturday, and yeah, good luck with the rest of the tour.
Thank you so much, Mick. I really appreciate that.
Not a problem.
Thank you.